Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, eating a cookie because I'm hungry. Hey, Grizz.
What?
Thank you for joining us, and don't be grumpy. But anyway, we're going to be talking to Bonnie up at Lake Chabot. That's one of the California, I guess kind of like North Central California. But I'll tell you what, let's just bring Bonnie on and find out where it is, right? Hey, Bonnie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Oh, it just keeps getting better, and the time of the year is rolling.
We're right on to summer.
I suspect there's some people out there listening to you right now that maybe you're going to rent an RV, they have an RV, they're going to do a road trip and camp out, and they're probably looking at maps and trying to figure out where they should be going. You got any ideas?
Yeah, you guys should definitely think about coming up to the East Bay, right here to Castor Valley, Lake Chabot, heart of the Whopper.
That's
up here. You guys can come bring your RVs or come bring your tents, bring your family, everything. Bring your own boats.
Home of the Whopper, huh?
Yeah. Not to be confused with Burger King, but we here at Lake Chabot catch a big fish, and you are definitely on the Whopper Club. We give you hats, buttons, and mugs.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
But how big is a Whopper?
Whopper, you got to get a 5-pound trout or an 8-pound bass to get in the Whopper Club.
Well, I'm in the Whopper Club then.
All right. Well, you got to come down here to Lake Chabot and catch a fish and prove it to us.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that one day.
Grizz, you have to get it out of the lake. It's not something you can pull out of your attic.
Definitely not something you can buy at Safeway and then bring down here. That's for sure.
Okay. Well, Bonnie, why don't you give us some specifics on where you are?
We are located in Castor Valley, California, which is East Bay. So it's maybe about 15 minutes away from Oakland.
Mm-hmm. And give us a little bit of a description about the lake and the facilities around it.
The lake is about 9 miles all the way around, and it's all man-made. Nothing in this lake is natural.
Well,
the water is.
Yeah, and probably the fish are.
They're not robot fish, are they?
I'm sorry?
They're not robot fish, are they?
They're not robot fish. We actually pay a fishery from Mount Lassen, comes down once a week, and actually plants 500 to 1,000 pounds of fish every week here in the lake.
Wow. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, to a truckload of trout that are hatchery raised and delivered, they're not cheap.
No, it's not. Yeah, so to fish here, you actually need to have your standard California fishing license.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also need to buy a $5 day permit.
Mm-hmm.
And the $5 day permit goes to paying the fishery to come down here and plant every week for us.
Right. No, that's awesome. Do you have anything in there besides trout?
It's a good deal for everybody all around.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything in there besides trout?
Yeah, we actually have a plethora of fish. For those of you who do not know what a plethora is, that is
that's a
large
bunch.
Variety.
Yeah. That's
we have trout, catfish, bluegill, bass, carp, crappie, and we also have some sturgeon in here.
Wow, they must have got in by accident.
Yeah, and we also have, speaking of accidents, we also have koi fish in here.
Hmm.
A lot of people think, pets are not responsibilities, but they are. So they can't take care of them, and they come and unfortunately dump them here.
Well, koi fish is...
They flush them down the toilet and they find
Grizz.
Their way there.
Grizz, come on.
That is definitely not what happens here at Lake Chabot.
Okay.
Gross.
But,
we have a perfect lake here, a perfect pH balance of 7, so the water is very clear, very beautiful.
No, I didn't mean the lake was dirty. I mean they jump rivers and follow and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Bonnie, let's get some quick information for you. We got to let you go.
All right.
Do you want a phone number? 510-247-2526? That sounds good. And if anybody didn't write that down, they can just come back to the website and listen to the show and get that contact information for Bonnie at Lake Chabot, Chabot.
Yeah, you can also find us on Facebook and our website, norcalfishing.com.
Perfect. Great job, Bonnie. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Good. Grizz, let's see if we can visit with Michael Briggs from Clover Pass Resort, where we're going to be going up there in July. I wish you could make it, but... You know, you're such an important, busy man. It's hard for you to sneak away, especially all the way to Alaska for even a couple of days.
I want to go, John. I'm tired. You know, I want to get cold sometime.
Well, it's all relative. Because in July, you know, we consider that pretty warm up there, because it's possible you can have T-shirts and shorts, but you better be wearing your rain gear just in case.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk to Michael and find out what's happening this year up at Clover Pass Resort in Ketchikan, Alaska. Michael?
How are you, John?
Oh, it keeps getting better. I'm anxious to get up there in July.
Fantastic. We're anxious to have you up there.
I'm going to try maybe get away, too.
Well, we'd love to have you, Grizz.
I really want to do it. I haven't been up that way in a long, many, many, many years.
Okay, well, let's talk between now and July, and maybe if you, maybe if you're a good boy and you make some money, we'll take you along. Anyway, Michael, give us an idea what's stacking up for this year. Just real quickly about Clover Pass and how things are looking, and the different things that happen at different times of the year, and of course, if people can still get up there and visit with you.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some spaces still available all summer long. It is getting to be a little bit like putting a jigsaw puzzle together at this point, looking for space here and there and at different points through the year. But certainly if somebody wanted to come up and enjoy the fishing, I mean, it really starts getting going in about, I mean, the early kings will start coming in about a month. And that'll last all the way through June. And then when you guys get up there in July, there'll be silvers and pinks and chums and sockeye and all kinds of other Pacific salmon species in the water as well.
Well, I've noticed up there that no matter what time of the year, you never know exactly what's going to grab your bait.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, especially in July when all those species do congregate in the waters right there in front of the lodge. I mean, it could be any one of them biting at any given time. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, it's just a little pink, and you pull in a 40-pound king salmon. You're like, what in the heck happened there?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, Grizz, is about where Clover Pass is. It's on the Inland Passage, and there's, you know, it's about, what, 40, 50 miles from the open ocean. But a lot of the, you know, streams and rivers are starting to come down through there, and all these salmon are going to come in, and they kind of start pooling up, you know, and getting ready to swim upstream. To spawn, but when they're still in the ocean, they, you know, they're still eating heavy, and they're thick right in there. So it's just a great place if you're interested in having fun and catching fish, and you like flat, calm water.
Well, I like all of the things above that you mentioned, John, because sometimes I get pretty beat up down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you guys have had some wind down there, I know, for the last couple of weeks, right, in Baja?
Yeah, we've been beat up pretty bad. Mm-hmm.
Well,
but it's going to get better. But I'd like to come up. That sounds interesting. Me come up there and do something different besides catching fish over 300 pounds almost every day. Well, at least 150 pounds every day, and catch some nice salmon. Sounds mm-hmm. like fun.
Yeah. Well, that's something I've probably done a little bit more recently than you have. So at least I might have stand a chance. might even give you a few tips.
Yeah, well, you always give me tips whether you know or not, John.
Well, that's my job.
And if you want to get on top of some big fish there, Grizz, we can put you on top of some big halibut. I mean, we had fish as big as, you know, 225, 245 pounds last year caught just, you know, within a few miles from the lodge.
Yeah, well, the other thing about Mike is that, you know, you catch a 200-pound marlin, you know, they'll get up and run and you can follow them. Halibut, they, you know, they just go to the bottom and just are, you know, they don't want to come up. So it's,
well,
it's a lot of work.
Well, the last time I fished halibut, I think I got one about 310 pounds.
Okay.
And I felt like I was pulling up a Volkswagen
from
the bottom.
Anyway, guys, we're going to have to go again, Grizz. So, Michael, some contact information from you real quickly.
Absolutely. www.cloverpassresort.com.
Oh, and you can also go to fishtalkradio.com and click on where it says Clover Pass Resort, and we'll be happy to take care of you. And if you want to come up in July, we might be able to squeeze you in, but you better hurry up. Okay, we'll talk to you soon, Michael. Thank you. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4000. 4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Kachuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
I wish that I was fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. Mike Ritz, who's actually not quite here physically in studio with us, but he's here. And we also have with us here, although he's all the way on the other side of the world, is we have Ken Gullup, who is a tournament bass angler, and he's also on the pro staff for McCoy Fishing Lines, and that's kind of how we ended up with him today. We were talking to Rick at McCoy Lines, and he goes, I don't know what to say. Give Ken a call. He knows what he's talking about, so that's what we're doing it. Hey, Ken, glad to have you.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things I'm excited about talking to you about is I don't know if we've ever actually had somebody. We've had people from all over the world, from, you know, Costa Rica to Alaska and most everywhere in between. But I don't remember talking to anybody from upstate New York. So let's find out what the fishing's like. And maybe you could kind of go over, you know, just to start with, you know, what kind of fisheries there are. I know you're a professional bass angler, but I suspect you've caught more than bass. So
sure.
Kind of give us an idea, you know, what, where, and, you know, different species, if you don't mind.
Sure, no problem. I primarily target, you know, the bass, but there is just about everything that swims around around this part. You know, as long as the water's to the point where you can't drive your truck across it, which we just got rid of that problem. I'm sure you guys don't have that problem down there.
It's called hard water, yeah.
Yeah, it's called hard water. McCoy does make a ice fishing line, but I prefer to head further south when those type of events occur.
There you go. There you go.
But the Finger Lakes, you know, it's a wine region, so I mean, it rivals some of the stuff you see out your way.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, but instead of being beautiful 12 months a year, it's only beautiful about 7 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the water is very clear. It's got a good variety of habitat for the fish. That's kind of the, you know, there's really a string of those lakes that go across the middle of New York State.
Mm-hmm.
They're packed full of smallmouth. They're packed full of largemouth. They have, you know, pike and pickerel. We have walleye are really big here. A lot of guys go after the perch. And then if you're a little bit more adventurous, we've got some call them the Great Lakes. Some days I call them the Great Oceans. Lake Ontario and the Great Lake Erie kind of butt up to our part here.
Well, you find saltwater species in there, don't you?
Yeah, not so much there, but, you know, you can go down a little bit closer to New York City if you're that adventurous, and, you know, you can get into the Long Island Sound and
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. But the Great Lakes are all freshwater, and, you know, it's got a real healthy population of the bass, and it also has some fabulous trout fishing, lake trout, steelhead.
I think probably the Great Lakes have the best smallmouth fishing in the world, don't they?
I would
the biggest
right here,
ones?
I do travel all over, too, and I get to see a good chunk, and I've had days where, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 150 smallmouth, you know, averaging anywhere from 3 to 5.5 pounds is not uncommon. And there's not too many places that you can really do that.
Well, I kind of thought that bass like warmer water.
Yeah, I don't know. They must have a heater down there because that's whenever I go south, that's what I always hear as well. But you know, our fish don't get to be those 10, 15, 20 pounders that go swimming around in some of those California lakes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a six pound fish is pretty much what we
right.
consider a monster around here.
Mm-hmm.
Fish are 20 years old.
Ken, you also mentioned about clean, clear water. That means there's no algae in it, so that makes a difference in the food supply, right?
Right, yeah, it's a little bit more. I mean, there are a good variety of things. Things just take a lot longer to grow here. And with that clear water, that's where we get into some of the McCoy product, obviously, is that fluorocarbon is just a fabulous product for it's clear, it's sensitive, and it really can be a very, very effective tool. And I know in some of the California lakes, I'm fishing against guys from all over the country when I'm fishing the tour, and a lot of the guys from California, they come fully armed and fully equipped to fish those clear lakes that that we have, and you know, they're deadly with that.
You mentioned that they don't get as big. I suspect that they don't really grow in the wintertime, so it probably does take them twice as long. Is that correct? But anyway, why don't you and Grizz talk about fishing line for a few minutes, about the, you know, the different groups of line. And, you know, there's no such thing as one size fits all, because it depends on, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it, right?
Absolutely. And that's really a pretty good range of things. I mean, if you want to break it down into the four basic segments, if you will, there's that that monofilament, which you and me and the kids ended up wrapping around the dock posts as we were kids. It was like a rubber band. That was kind of how it all started. And then, on the far end of the spectrum is the ultra clear, ultra sensitive fluorocarbon lines that we've really gotten to take advantage of on the tour. And
do you think that's all that it's cranked up to be?
I think it's above and beyond what it's cranked up to be. And a kind of a perfect example was one of the guys I was fishing with on the tournament trail in a very clear lake, Beaver Lake in Arkansas. We had a tournament there, and he was throwing the same exact lure as I was, pretty much the same rod. Granted, I have a little bit of advantage on the front of the boat, but when I had about 70 or 80 fish and he had two, he looked at me and said, "What's the difference?" And I said, "It's the sensitivity of the fluorocarbon and the fact that these fish cannot see that fluorocarbon where they can see that that mono that you're throwing."
Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, when you mentioned a clear water, it would make a difference. If you're fishing in murky water, that the visibility wouldn't make any difference then, right?
No, I think really one of the other primary characteristics of this line is the sensitivity. Mm-hmm. It's very dense. It has next to no stretch whatsoever. So when somebody breathes on that, much less eats that, I feel that, and that really gives me the when a fish picks something up, it puts it in its mouth, kind of like you and I, put things in our hands to feel it. If it doesn't feel quite right, they're going to, if we pick up a soggy apple, we're going to be throwing it across the way. And the fish are going to feel the difference when they suck a piece of metal with some rubber in it.
Well, Grizz, you use fluorocarbon for rockfish, right, in Baja?
Yeah, I use it a lot because we've got that one pargo, that snapper down here, that real monster guy, the mullet snapper.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, you put something beside it, and I'll put mono or the fluorocarbon on mine, and I'll catch fish, and they'll just swim around yours. They won't even eat it. So I use it a lot in clear water and also for special fish.
Yeah, you're calling in before.
And the other direction on it, things too, is when we fishing on the pro tour. One month or 1 week I'm in Beaver Lake, Arkansas, where you can see the water in 20 foot, 30 foot down. And the next couple days I'm in, Lake Okeechobee in Florida, where the water has about a foot of visibility. And, you're fishing in weeds that you probably couldn't drive a boat through if you had a tugboat. And we'll go all the way to the other extreme and start throwing a braided line, which is really a fiber, a mix of fibers. That you can see it like you could see a boat anchor, but in those cases, I'm throwing up to 80 pound line, and
I use a lot of braided line for big stuff, for my big marlin and stuff. I'll come in and use a fluorocarbon of about 120 to 150 on my lure, and then strap right onto it in front of that braided line.
Yep, and that's kind of one of the things we do in. Yeah, the thing is the properties. The braid's you'll really feel much, more with the braid. I think when a marlin grabs your hook, you know it. When a bass barely sucks it in, sometimes you're questioning it. So sometimes there's applications where you tie one to the other, so you have the best of both worlds, or at least, partially.
Right, just a real quick thought when you talk about tying the two together. We don't want to go in about the how-tos, but you know, fluorocarbon is not that easy to tie because I don't think it has a really good knot strength. And then of course the microbraid can be, you know, a little tricky sometimes. So tying the two together, you probably better know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I have one knot that really has not let me down. And on the other side, the other thing I do too, and I think you could do it in saltwater applications too, is you can go with a knot that doesn't have as sharp of turns in it, so it would slide more often. But I actually put super glue in the knot, and that really solves my problems. So kind of, you know, that union, you know, I'll use, and there's a few that are better than others for doing that. But the good old-fashioned crazy glue is one of the best.
I've heard that before. Yeah, that's great. It doesn't harm the line at all.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, we've only got about a minute or so left, so we talked about the fluorocarbon. We mentioned the nylon, and then the microbraid. And there's another one that would fall into that category that you mentioned that's kind of a combination.
Yeah, and that's the copolymer, which is kind of gives you some of the abrasion and a little bit more of the stretchiness and actually is a lot cheaper than going all the way up to the fluorocarbon. So that's kind of a good all-purpose line. You could get away using it for primarily any application. You do give up a little bit, but that kind of parks you in the middle. So if you're a little bit hesitant, you know, pulling out the home equity loan to buy your line, the copolymer can be really, really good. And it's definitely several steps ahead of
right.
the monofilament.
Well, yeah, if you're going to put a whole spool of fluorocarbon on, that's pretty pricey. And, yeah. You know, the microbraid isn't cheap either, but, you know, you can put a lot of yards on without spending a whole lot of money. And then we want to mention McCoy, of course, that brought you together with us, and I guess they make all of those.
Yeah, they're great. They're you know, the one thing that brought me to McCoy, other than the quality of the products, is I try and buy American, and
okay.
They are American.
They are 100%. Well, guys, it looks like we're out of that one. Boy, that 12 minutes went by fast. Ken, we appreciate that, and well, maybe we'll see if we can talk to you some more. We really do. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio with John Hennigan and The Grizz. We'll be right back.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The boss, he's looking for me. He says it's time to go to work, but I am out on the sea.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, and we have the pleasure of Ramon from the Hotel Finisterre at the Lands Inn, Cabo San Lucas, Baja California, sir, and one of the premier, one of the original also, wasn't it? There's one of the original, I don't know if it was the first, second, or third, but it was one of the first three resorts in Cabo San Lucas. Ramon, does that sound right?
That is correct. John, how are you? How's everybody out there doing?
Well, we're doing good. I guess you've had a little bit of wind down there. You know, the weather, you know, let's not go there. The weather has just been crazy. I've still been putting long pants on and off, and this time of the year, that shouldn't be happening. But what can I say? you know, that's...
You ought to keep them on, John. You got ugly legs.
I know, but if they never see the sun,
well,
they just get worse.
Well, come down and get some suntan down here and come there you go. Better place.
It doesn't matter, Ramon, if you have suntan or not, they're still ugly.
Well, it helps if they get a tan and they can't do that.
That's fine with us.
Oh, no.
They'd still be ugly, Ramon.
How you guys doing? It's a pleasure to be with you back again.
Right. Well, we got some exciting stuff going on, and of course, we'll talk about Cabo, a little bit about the fishing, and then, of course, we've got some big news with the Finisterre, people that want to travel first class and fish first class. It is, well, Cabo San Lucas, first of all, has got probably the best accommodations, the best world-class golf, and the best fishing anywhere in the world.
That is correct, and thank you for that. And I just want to let you know that something very interesting just happened in Cabo. About a week ago, Enrique Fernandez del Castillo, who now is heading the sport fishing department in Baja California Sur, together with some people from the government, local government, invited people from the Senate to come and have an experience in Cabo. Because, you know, we have this regulation of the Norm 029.
Right,
where
yeah,
we're trying
to get
commercial fishing away. It's 150 nautical miles or something like that, away from the shores. And, of course, people from Mazatlan, that they do shrimp boating and all that stuff, they're doing a lot of commercial fishing. So by having the senators and the deputies that are people in the government to come over and hear, you know, or like from the mouthfish to see what's actually happening, taking place, they actually invited them to a mini tournament. So they went out on a catch-and-release tournament. And the exciting thing was that they all went, many of them, for the first time ever in their lives. We had about 15 representatives or something like that. And the important thing was that out of the whole catch-and-release tournament, only two striped marlins were caught. And 10 years ago, each boat was taking anywhere from 7 to 10. So it was about 8 boats out or something like that. So it was very, very dramatic, and they had to live it firsthand in order for them to realize that, yes, there's still some tuna, but the marlin is definitely taking a toll on the commercial fishing.
Right. Well, even at that, you know, the commercial fishing, we don't like them because all they do is sell it for cat food. But anyway, or maybe the restaurants. But, you know, I still think it's still a marlin capital of the world. And certain, this is maybe the best time of the year for it, but,
indeed,
you know, it's incredible. And the other thing we mentioned real quick about the marlin, right in front of your hotel is the beach, and from there it drops off into a canyon that's a thoroughfare for marlin. So you can actually, you know, hit a golf ball and hit a boat catching a marlin from the beach.
Exactly right. And actually, we just saw about 2 days ago, 6 boats right in front of the hotel. I'll say, like as you said, you can throw a football and they can catch it. It was about 100 yards max outside of the property, 40 or 50 yards. And 6 boats were out there, and they were definitely having a good day doing some catching. I could not tell if there was tuna they were getting out. But before 3 days ago, we had incredible winds, as you were commenting. And it was very exciting to start seeing that the port didn't close. The people are happy. They're going out fishing. And Cobb was still doing the thing.
Yeah, what was right out in front of your place, I was there. There was a lot of Sierra.
Oh,
and about another 200 yards out from where those boats were, you could find me hooked up to a marlin.
How about that?
A striped marlin right out there.
Congrats. You should have stopped by here and brought some fish so we can have a little
fish. Don't kill marlin.
I know you don't. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
that's you can.
But yeah, I was going to stop in and see you, but I got so behind time on everything. I had the president of Eagle Claw Hooks with me.
Excellent.
So we had a lot of running around to do, so I didn't get the chance. Next time I'll be down there next week. They're calling me right now from there on the radio saying there's a ton of sharks out there right now and wanting me to come down and make a shark show.
Well, let's go.
How about that?
Okay.
So I'll probably be down there next week then.
Okay.
Look us up. We'd love to have you over.
Ramon, we're going to let you go in a minute, but now if you can spell Finisterre, which apparently I can't because I was trying to send you an email and I kept double checking and double cat checking and still got it wrong.
Don't worry.
If you can spell Finisterre, you have a website that you can go to.
The easiest way right now, John, is for, since we're converting to Sandoz, it's easier for people just to click into our Sandoz pages. It's like sand and then OS at the end.
Sandoz. Okay.
And Sandoz.com, and then you'll see the Los Cabos property, which is Finisterre, which is F-I-N.
Okay, hold on. I-S.
I-S-T.
Yeah.
Isla Kinedward, double R-A. Okay. Finnish Terra, the end of the land.
Well, it sounds easy. Oh, is that what that means? Finnish, yep. Finnish and Terra. Like, oh, I never thought about that.
Terra.
Okay.
Land.
All righty. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm listening to it. Yeah, I knew what the Phoenix Terra, the owner of the property, told me why it was named that.
Well, you know, when you look at it, it makes sense. I mean, finite or fini is Finnish, and Terra is land, Terra. So I never thought about that. I just, you know what? I guess I still hadn't has some stuff I can learn. Anyway, Grizz, we're going to talk to Tom Matouche, and we're going to move up the coast to Half Moon Bay right south of San Francisco and get into a little cooler water and a little bit of a different kind of fish. So, Tom, do we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Cooler water is right. Try 49 degrees.
Whoa! well, even for up there, you know, low 50s, you know, is probably normal, but for this time of the year, 49 sounds a little cool.
Yeah, we were surprised. You know, we've had a lot of wind. We had a great salmon opener, and we've been blown into the beach for so many days, and we're just so fortunate to be able to get back out on the water. Oh, we've still got some pretty good swell, pretty good wind. The water's been as cold as 46. We were afraid the fish wouldn't bite, but fortunately we've got a couple days where they are biting, so. Mm-hmm. We're pretty fortunate.
Well, when you say the fish are biting, give us an idea, you know, what, how big, and how you're catching them.
We're trolling, mostly using bait. There's some lures. We just had one hooked up on a watermelon apex. Just
That's it. That's the one.
You're calling me.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 to 45 feet. Some of those cone zone type flashers are doing well. Sinker releases, two and a half, 3 pound balls.
Okay. What are you using, the diving planes or just the cannonballs?
We're using these little triangular flasher type deals that have become real popular lately. And we've got a few other little flashers, but also straight bait is working as well.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Well, when we get up to Alaska, that watermelon apex is, you know, to that's been my go-to for how long, I don't know. But we're going to have to get Grizz, you know, to get up this way and then go on up to Alaska with us and get him more interested, you know, in some cooler water. Because,
well, I'd like to make some shows up there, being I'm with Azteca now, you know, filming with them, Azteca America. I can go up there. I can have north of the border.
There you go. There you go.
On my television show.
Right here. We're getting a lot of salmon. You could be filming all these guys catching salmon right off.
I want to film me catching cat salmon.
Yeah.
Not everybody else. Hey, I wanted me and my son to do it.
Tom, real quickly, what's the size and bag limit on? And these are only kings, correct?
Correct. We had one silver earlier this morning. We can't retain any silvers. Minimum size is 24 inches, so that's about a 6-7 pound fish. Today we've got them to 21 pounds.
Whoa, so that's huge!
Yeah.
No, I mean that. You know, some people 21 pounds, but a 21 pound king salmon. You know, you hear about the monster ones, but 21 pound is a huge, huge fish. If you get that in and hold it up in front of you, wow! I mean that's a really, and they're beautiful fish. So
And, hurry up, take the picture.
There you go, my arm. But and how many are you allowed to keep up where you're at?
We get two salmon per angler.
Okay, well, that's enough. You get a couple of 20s, that's plenty.
I get a couple of 10s. You're still calling the neighbors.
Yeah, it's amazing when you start flaying those out how many friends you get, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. But I'll tell you, everybody that's been enjoying this all krill fred fish, beautiful, brilliant red flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific fighters, you know, when they're eating that shrimp. So it's great battles.
Well, do you think the water temperature has something to do with that, Tom?
Well, we started opening weekend before the big wind. It was 53 degrees. Now we've had 48, and it's warmed up to 49.
Mm-hmm.
So they're enjoying the fish are definitely here, and the numbers are good. We've got a good whale show today. Just been a great day to be on the water.
Okay, well, we've got only about 30 seconds, but first of all, before we forget, Tom Matouche on the Hooli Cat, you have a website, which is?
HooliCat.com.
HULI.
B BAT.com.
Okay. Yeah, that's an easy one. And if you want to, give, you know, write it down or listen to the show again, it's 650-726-2926. Okay. Oh, we got almost a minute. Oh, cool. Okay. Anyway, besides the Kings, the great thing about talking to Tom Matusch is that there's always something going on. Even if there's nothing going on, he'll make something happen. You know, whether it's putting crab nets down or sand dab fishing or, hey, whatever happened with the deep water black bass, and real quickly.
We've done that. That was all part of the stock assessment. That was on the chili pepper stock assessment. I think the latest is put 180,000 fish in our salmon acclimation pen at Phillip Harbor with Coastside Fish.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, we got to go. Get in touch with Tom at hoolycat.com. Grizz, appreciate you hanging in there, and we're going to be talking to you later. This is Fish Talk Radio.